not driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Marcus Smart. Struggling getting it in. Throws a bounce pass. Tatum has it. Tatum runs to the corner, launches a three, rims out, and that's the ballgame. And a crazy night for the Celtics. So close to getting knocked out by this historically good Bucks team. But they fight to the finish. Down 27 in the second. Down 22 late in the third. They had a chance to make it a one-point game in the final second. The Bucks win again. They have won 31 of 34. They are now 37-6. And the Celtics drop their second game in as many nights. The final score, Milwaukee 128, Boston 123.
Yeah, I mean, that was more Celtics basketball than we've seen in a while in the second half. That was good. I was encouraged. But obviously, you can't give up 76 in the first.
Yeah, that commentary, with all due respect to Sean Grandy, who always does a great job with the call, the Celtics games here in the Sports Hub, and head coach Brad Stevens, you deserve to hear the kid, the good job, good effort kid from years ago in the series with the Heat and the Celtics. We're going to do good job, good effort. After the Bucks nearly put up 80 in the first half, Celtics end up losing by 5 on Thursday night in Milwaukee. 128-123 is the final. And welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, at Brian Rubb of Boston Sports Journal alongside as well. And you, if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. That game wasn't competitive. That score is fake.
I agree.
And you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, the Bucks just stopped playing the last 3 minutes.
Right. And for most of the fourth quarter, like, I'm not giving them credit for making it a 5-point loss. I'm not, because those last couple of games and how they've looked really overall over the last couple of weeks. What are they? Are they 5-7?
They've lost 5 of their last 7.
5 of their last 7. That's what it is. They're in a bad way right now, and not so much in a bad way. You know what it is, Chris? The realization I've had with this team after Thursday night is that I have ended up severely overrating this team, and at least what their ceiling is. Because over this last couple of weeks, it's becoming more and more apparent that even though they are a more likable bunch, and I do like that about them, and going into the season after last year's hideous year and how that whole thing devolved, I just wanted a good product on a random Wednesday in January. Well, okay, we should have got that, but they lose to Detroit. But still, they're a likable team. I like that. But from a basketball standpoint, when I look at Thursday night, they're turning into the team that they were last year on the floor. It's a collection of individuals that play ISO offense. Four other guys watch. The ball doesn't move. Tatum, especially at times, it's one pass and then it's the Kobe effect taking over. Gordon Hayward in that game, again, looks mentally broken since his last injury when he, you know, smashed his hand against the Spurs going back. Thursday night, useless. Over 32 minutes, 1 of 10 shooting, 1 of 9 from 3, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And if you didn't watch it, it's uglier than it actually was because his game now is hiding in corners and chucking threes. They've turned him into Kevin Love with good hair. It's and some of that falls on the coach and how Brad Stevens is using him. If Hayward was right, or even if you want to try to get him going, use him more in the half-court offense. Let him be a playmaker. He was doing that before he got hurt.
Yeah.
So, no, he's been relegated to spot-up shooter, and I don't know. Like, I think I fell into overrating this team because, you know, going back a few weeks doing this very show, I was like, this is the third-best team in the NBA. I really bought in. Even though Pascal Siakam didn't play in that Christmas Day game, they never went in Toronto. It's like, oh, okay. And they kicked the crap out of that team that day. So I was like, okay, no, this team actually, you know, could give Milwaukee a bit of a run. Now they've come back down to earth. Now, what we've seen, at least Thursday, there was a no-show against Detroit. That was inexcusable, just like it was the prior week losing at home and the no-show against San Antonio and on the road against the Wizards. But Thursday, they're not close. They're closer to the Miamis of the
world. I agree.
The bench stinks. They're too small. The lackluster starts are infuriating, and some of that falls on the coach, too. And that's not a 5-point loss the other night. They got blown out. That game was not competitive. And it's sobering to me going forward. Like, I think this is closer to what they are. They're an Eastern Conference middler, and it's more about the East just kind of sucking more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's obviously elements of the team that you like. I think we've seen some great development this year from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and unfortunately those guys have run into some health issues, particularly Jaylen Brown, you know, the last week or so, and no Jaylen Brown again tonight against the Suns, so that's disappointing. But when you talk about Hayward, you know, B-Rob has a tweet here, and he's retweeting Jay King from The Athletic. Hayward apparently said after shoot-around today that his foot is still an ongoing issue and he expects it to continue to be. He said it won't be the reason if he struggles, though, which is kind of like, I'm just saying, but no.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's obviously bringing it up. And I know my colleague Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe pointed out today that he's on pace for a career low in free throw attempts per game. He's under 2 per game. So I'm curious how much of him standing in the corner is on Brad Stevens and how much of it is
he just doesn't have the
he doesn't feel right. He doesn't think he can attack the rim and hang and finish anymore. And he's a little bit reluctant at this point to sort of go into the paint and mix it up, which we saw last year. And B-Rob has these stats. He tweeted them out. Hayward, since he returned from the foot injury on Christmas, 14.8 points per game, 5.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 48% from the field, a field goal, 32% three. Like, that all sounds pretty good, but he just has not been as aggressive or assertive to me when you just watch him. You know, and before that, he was shooting like 50% from the field and the free throw attempts being down. So it feels like he's just fading into the background. And the other part for me is that when I look at those three guys, and this has been my biggest question about this team, Jim, I still don't see Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Gordon Hayward meshing together and bringing out the best in each other. I still don't see that. And I am still convinced, and I will say it every week on the show, and I will ask the question every week of Chris Forsberg or whoever we have on. I still think one of those guys, and let's be honest, it's really going to be Hayward or Brown, has to go to the bench. It doesn't mean that the three of them don't finish the games together, but one of them has to go to the bench. Because to me, it's killing two birds with one stone. The three of them don't play well together in the starting lineup to start the games. And I think if you stagger them a little bit differently, you can help the bench, which needs more offense and needs more shooting. And I think you saw that the other night against Milwaukee. You know, what ends up happening, how deep a hole they can put themselves in when that bench isn't producing and they're not getting what they need out of the bench.
Even the night before against Detroit, the bench was terrible.
Yeah.
And they're outscored by the Pistons. So I've always said, and I'm with you on this, because it's now looking like, you know, look, we have a big enough sample size to say that, and you can throw the analytics and say, well, they're still a plus, whatever. It's not working with those three, so someone should go to the bench. And I've said for a while now, ever since he got the deal, Jaylen Brown should be the one to go to the bench because, well, you got paid, so what do you got to lose? You know what I mean? It's just maybe a little bit, you got to suck up your pride. Go to the bench for now because it is not working. Beyond that, what could be another fix here? You still maintain that they got to find some secondary scoring. They got to have another piece on the bench. Do they need a big? Because people are obsessed with, like, now trying to come up with permutations for trying to get a trade for Andre Drummond. Maybe even someone a little bit more low rent like Marcin Gortat.
Yeah.
Do they still need a big?
They do still need a big, but I agree with something that Chris Forsberg, who's going to join us here on the Sports Hub Celtics show, that he wrote in his mailbag on NBC Sports Boston, which is they need bench scoring and shooting more. I still think they're a shooter short. There's some issues spacing the floor at times. They have guys who can knock down threes, but that's different from having shooting. And I think they could use somebody, whether it's a Bertans or you know, a guy I really like who's a smaller guy, but Malik Beasley in Denver, who will be a restricted free agent, and they have a ton of wing guard types out there in Denver. They still need somebody off that bench who can give them a little more spacing and a little more shooting. I'd put that first. And then, yeah, they could use another big, but I don't want to get a big just to get a big. Like, if they get a big, that big has to be a significant upgrade over what they have. I will say this. It was a little jarring the other night to watch that game and see that Enes Kanter had one rebound. That's tough. I mean, that's tough against the Milwaukee Bucks. And granted, he played less than 16 minutes. It's 15 minutes and 36 seconds. So maybe some of that is sort of what the issue is there. But, I mean, one rebound, you look in that game, I mean, the Celtics got, you know, beaten on the boards in that game, and they need just a little bit more there. But, again, you can't just grab any old big and say that's an upgrade. Like, if you're going to go get, you know, Miles Turner or Steven Adams or somebody like that, fine. But if we're just going to be grabbing some assorted big, then I'm fine.
B-Rob, what are your gripes covering this team right now? Did you overrate them and you feel like I did? Like, it's a bitter pill to swallow with the way that they've played over the last couple of weeks? Or did you realize, is this not that surprising because your expectations weren't all that high for them to begin with?
Yeah, I had them like under 49 wins at the beginning of the year.
Oh, okay.
So this is, but that was definitely trending up as like they surprised me like everyone else during the first couple months of the year. So I do think some of this right now, guys, like it's January. Their schedule right now is just brutal. So playing these back, I mean, you don't want to use back-to-backs as excuses, but when you're playing on the road against Philly and Milwaukee, when they've had two or three games off, like you shouldn't be giving up 76 points in the first half, but you're going to be overmatched there. I will say, from an encouraging standpoint, and this is where, again, it falls to Danny Ainge, I feel like, in the second half, they cut the lead to 6 in the third quarter there. And then the bench came in, like, guys who shouldn't be playing against the Bucks, like Javonte Green, guys who are, you know, nice guys, but they're 15th men, and then gave that lead, got the lead back up to 20 again. So when you went mano a mano with their best guys and your best guys for most of that game after down 26, you held your own there, especially with Kemba. So, again, they're a player or two away from competing with the Bucks. Is this front office want to think they're good enough to invest in now, or have they overachieved in the first 2 months and you kind of step back and maybe think about dealing Gordon? This is why the next 3 weeks are going to be huge, I feel like.
All right, your calls on the Celtics. How you feel about this team right now? 617-779-0985. We'll go to you and give you an injury update heading into tonight's game against the Phoenix Suns at the Garden. That's next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a tough stretch that we're on, but, you know, we get another chance Saturday here. So, you know, you mentally learn from this, and then, you forget about it.
Can't get discouraged off that. I mean, we play, what, 2 back-to-back nights and stuff like that. Like, you can't let that discourage you, you know. It's part of it. You know, we at the 40-game mark. It happens.
Expect a little more fire out of Marcus Smart. Wasn't really too hot on that post-game comment by him there. But Gordon Hayward is at least honest in saying the Celtics seem to be in like a bit of a bad way right now, losing 5 of their last 7. That was Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, after the loss to Milwaukee on Thursday night. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, as mentioned, you have another shot here of Saturday night at home against the Phoenix Suns. Some injury updates, courtesy of Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, and Jay King of The Athletic. Jaylen Brown out once again with a thumb injury. Forsberg is tweeting that a scan showed no issues. He was close to playing, but Brown out again with a thumb injury. Kemba Walker with a sore left knee, now questionable tonight. And according to Jay King of The Athletic, Gordon Hayward said today his foot is still an ongoing issue and he expects it to continue to be. Said it won't be a reason if he struggles, though. Yeah. I'm not sure if I really
wink,
buy
wink.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's like, it won't be an issue, but just so you know, my foot's bothering me, and it's going to be an issue for the rest of the season. But it's not an issue. It's not an issue.
Your thoughts on this team right now? What's the fix? How you feel about them? Steve in Medford, you're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show today. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. So my takeaway from the Bucks game was just the depth between the two teams, because I understand that the Celtics really dug themselves, you know, in a hole in that first half. But, you know, when you look back at the box score and even the game itself, I didn't really feel like Giannis dominated. Like, he put up great stats, but I didn't feel like that was a game that Giannis kind of grabbed the Celtics by the throat and, you know, took and won the game on his own. That game was the difference was Dante DiVincenzo scoring like 20 points off the bench, George Hill scoring like 15 points off the bench, and that just shows that the Celtics have just this lack of depth off the bench, and that's where I feel like we do need to make a trade. The Celtics have 3 first-round picks this year. If they're all if the Celtics still own all those beyond the trade deadline, that's going to really annoy me because I know they have the assets to go get another guy to help them with scoring off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to make the money match. But, yeah, speaking, let's talk about those Celtics first-round picks. Anybody see that Ja Morant alley-oop last night from Jay Crowder?
Get him in the All-Star game. Get him in the All-Star game.
Anybody see that? Yeah, they're now up 2 games on San Antonio for the final playoff spot in the West. Yeah, Ja Morant is the runaway rookie of the year. That pick's really panning out. They're, you know, the Grizzlies are only halfway through their season. They're more than halfway. They've played 42 games.
That kid's a stud.
20-22. So even if they don't make the playoffs, it doesn't really look like they're going anywhere unless he gets hurt.
Will in Whitman. Go ahead. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
All right. Let me take you off the phone. Okay. Listen, my question to all of you guys, why is it that every single time we talk about Gordon Hayward, you guys want to talk about putting Brown, who's excelling, on the bench? That makes absolutely no sense. Why does Gordon Hayward on this program always gets away with these things? We're paying him max contract. He scored 1 field goal, 1 against Giannis and his boys. It's preposterous. Why are we defending them?
Well, I mean, it's not a defense of Hayward, but to your point, if you want to take all those numbers that you're talking about, and I agree with that with Hayward, But then why would he be the best choice to help the bench? If your complaint is that he's not productive, then why? And you're not getting bench production. So when we talk about Jaylen Brown, you got to remember the organization we're talking about here. This is the Boston Celtics. It's not any old organization. I mean, this is the organization that invented the six-man role. So there's a long history with the Celtics of great six-men. I mean, you can go all the way back to Frank Ramsey. You can talk about John Havlicek, who's in the Hall of Fame, Kevin McHale in the Hall of Fame. So it's not a slap in the face if you're with the Boston Celtics to be a six-man. They've employed this type of thing before, and I think it would help the team the most. But to his point, if Gordon Hayward's not getting it done, then what is sending him to the bench going to do? You know, if he's not, if you feel that badly about him, then sending him to the bench to anchor a second unit, well, how is that going to help?
Right. I always say it, well, because if I was in Jaylen Brown's shoes, I, to me, it would just be an easy fix. I got my money, so yeah, sure, I'll go to the bench.
Yeah, I know. We've heard this before. I mean, he doesn't like coming off the bench, and it's not for everybody. Some people can't do it. And the Celtics know their players better than we do. So maybe Jaylen Brown's just not capable of being productive coming off the bench. I would argue I think it's part of growth. And I would also argue that it's not about – it's really just about staggering these guys, and it's a little easier to do if one of them doesn't start the game. And it's not about who starts. It's about who finishes. I think they would all still be on the floor at the end.
Matt in Framingham has a thought on the coach and the job he's been doing. Go ahead, Matt, on Brad Stevens.
So good morning, afternoon, guys. So here's my issue with Brad Stevens. I was listening to Jones last night as I was driving home from Springfield, and he said something that was a really good point about Brad Stevens. These bad starts that the Celtics have been coming off to, we got to start looking at the coach and wondering, what are you doing before the game to get this team ready to go? Because this has been happening over and over and over and over again. And it's getting to the point where it's getting really irritating. Like, when are people going to stop looking at Brad Stevens and saying, Brad, what's going on before the games, might I ask?
Oh, Matt, it's a fair question. And I think it's okay to question his, I guess, motivational tactics right now. Because you've seen slow starts, even in some of these wins. And then, I think, complete no-shows, like what happened against Detroit this week and then the week prior on that Wednesday night against San Antonio. It looked like, from the jump, that they didn't even want to be there.
Yeah, I think they've gotten to a point where they've sort of started to read their own press clippings a little bit and start to feel like, okay, well, we got, you know, three all-stars on this team, and you know, I sort of feel like they're like, we've arrived, we've proven everybody wrong. Also, in fairness to the Celtics, like, I know we're all frustrated with this stretch of losing 5 of 7, but I think B-Rob maybe can back me up on this, but there have been a lot of their key players have been nicked up and in and out of the lineup. Like, Kemba Walker had the flu. And Jason Tatum was banged up and had to miss a game. And now Jaylen Brown has this thumb thing. And Hayward obviously has the foot, which he says is going to be an issue the whole year. So it's sort of been like people going back and forth, you know, in and out of the lineup. That's not an excuse, but I do think that's had something to do with it. You know, if I put my Gordon Hayward hat on, I'm not saying it's the reason it's happening, but I'm definitely mentioning it as a possible reason that it's happened.
What do you make of the slow starts, B-Rub?
Yeah, it's been an issue all year long, even when they were thriving at the start of the year. And I think there is actually an article on NBA.com about this that kind of highlights their slow starts lately. They're 28th in the league in the first 6 minutes of games, which is just like, wow. It's inexcusable given your record at this point. So again, Brad Stevens has known it's an issue. It kind of went away for a little bit, but it's fully back. And so the starting five has been consistent pretty much all year long when everyone's healthy. Like Chris said, though, guys have been in and out of there. They're clearly not forming some chemistry. And I don't know who you turn to either, because the depth obviously on the bench isn't great either right now.
Do you question his rotations a bit? I see how, you know, because people are clamoring, we need a big, we need a big, we need a big. And his use of Kanter has frankly kind of annoyed the hell out of me, at least this week, where he's playing like 15, 16 minutes. And, you know, Andre Drummond basically plays 40 the other night, and you need some help with a big man, and it seems like Brad still prefers that stretch four, and you're going to see more Daniel Theis than you do Kanter.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jim. There's definitely certain nights where, especially rebounding with Kanter, you're missing so many shots. It'd be great to have a guy down there to grab all those rebounds all the time, but I think Stevens, he just worries about Kanter's defense a lot. Understandably so at times against a team like the Bucks, but there are other nights where
you
could use it for 30 minutes. You know, that's like 20 points and 15 rebounds if he plays 30 minutes. And yeah, he's given up stuff on defensive end, but when your offense is struggling out of the gate, you might be better off starting the game with it.
Yeah, maybe Brad holds it against him that Ennis is so politically outspoken. He's anti-Turk. How about that? I kid.
That's a real stretch.
I know.
I know. You're being facetious.
Just joshing.
I get it.
But you're right to be frustrated with this team right now. They're not done, and we've already taken some calls. You know, Dakota in Braintree, who has his great landline, called Filger and Maz yesterday. He wants a declaration of doneness for the Celtics.
Oof, like, that's premature.
And it feels early. I'm frustrated. It's just, you know what it is.
We're not even past the trade deadline.
It's sobering, is what it is, because I really bought in. Like, I just was happy to see a better product this year, a more likable team, and they've been that. But after Christmas, it's like, oh no, this team actually is going to make some noise this postseason. But how they've looked over the last couple of weeks, I think this is more indicative of who they are, and that's a Eastern Conference middler. Ugh.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you say that. I mean, middler, that's true, I think. I mean, certainly they're closer to the middle than they are to the Bucks, but there's so many teams in the middle. It's the Heat, it's the Raptors, it's the Pacers, it's the 76ers. I just think that there's a pack of teams there that are all very similar and not close to Milwaukee right now. So I don't think, you know, they're in like a horrible position, but I think people sort of thought it was like Milwaukee, the Celtics, this pack of teams, and that's not true.
Because that's where I was.
The Celtics are in the pack.
Yeah, no, they're in the pack. And like in all aspects of life, it could always be worse, people, because we could still have, oh, God, well, the pill could still be here. Let's get to Kyrie Irving and some of the things he had to say down in Brooklyn this week. This guy, holy crap.
I hope he played the whole thing.
We'll get to Kyrie Irving coming up next, along with more of your phone calls, your thoughts on the Celtics and the bad way they're in right now.
The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's glaring in terms of the pieces that we need in order for us to be at that next level. And I'm going to continue to reiterate it. You know, we're going to do the best with the guys that we have within our locker room now. And, you know, we worry about all the other stuff in terms of moving pieces and everything else as an organization down the line in summer. And, you know, it's just something that we signed up for. We knew what we were coming into in the beginning of the season. Guys are going down left and right for us. You know, GT's out. DJ, you know, got hurt tonight. You know, Wilson's just coming back, and then we have complimentary, you know, young guys as well that have done a great job for the last 3 years. So collectively, I feel like we have great pieces, but obviously it's pretty glaring that we need, you know, one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karis, and, you know, we'll see how that evolves.
All right, we have to talk about this pill. His reputation, he earned it. It's 100% deserved. Kyrie Irving. Oh. Thank you. That's what I was waiting for. Kyrie Irving, he of the Brooklyn Nets, he's back from his fake injury, which was, he's saying it's a shoulder injury. Really, he's been out because people were mean to him online for most of this season.
He's played pretty well since he got back, though.
Yeah, but he is, you know, saying that most of his teammates around him that have been playing their ass off for the 26 games that he's missed, they're worthless. They stink. We need more pieces. I need more help. Hey, guys. Oh, hi. That's right. I was talking about you, my teammates. He's just the worst. So then... those of us that work in sports media and those that are far more intertwined with the NBA, I know Charles Barkley has said that, like, everyone has thoughts on this, and rightfully so, because Kyrie Irving, who has missed most of the season, back and bitching about his teammates that have been working their asses off, and he just proves again what a terrible, terrible teammate he is, and he's a fake leader, and he loves to hear himself talk. So he says all of this the other night, and then, of course, he gets defensive when he comes off as a bad leader. And then he had this to say.
I'm a asshole yelling at everybody in the friggin' locker room all the time, and you hear all these stories, you know. And at the end of the day, my name, it was given to me by my grandfather. I'm very grateful, but it's in a lot of people's mouths all the time, and it is what it is. I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player, and there's still more goals I want to accomplish in this league, and I can't do it without improving an organization and winning a championship, and that's what it comes down to. So I'm going to continue to push. I'm going to continue to demand greatness out of myself and demand greatness out of my teammates, and we go from there. If it's harsh as a leader or it's too much for anybody, you're not in our locker room, stay the fuck out. It's as simple as that.
Okay, all right. You're not in our locker room, stay the F out. It's amazing to me, Chris. On the one hand, I'm not surprised because this is Kyrie Irving. Again, the reputation is deserved. He's right to be talked about like this, and what a pill that he is. But what does surprise me is that this is the same track almost at the same time as last year. It almost feels like he should, there's part of me that feels like he should just walk away and find a different profession, because he's clearly not happy, and this isn't going to change.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm curious, if you're a Celtics fan, do you feel better or worse about this? In other words, you realize, okay, it wasn't us. It's not just Tatum and Brown. It wasn't just Terry Rozier. It's Kyrie Irving. It's just the way he's built. You know, it's his demeanor. It's his personality. It's just his way. But at the same time, you can look at it and say, oh my God, this is the guy we were going to build around. What a huge misjudgment that was. Did we just waste the last couple of years trying to build around someone you absolutely can't build around as the centerpiece? Now, I think it will get better for Kyrie once Kevin Durant is there. And we've all heard, you know, the idea that the Nets didn't want to take just Kyrie. And they feel like once KD gets back, it's the two of them. And maybe Kevin Durant's sort of like the governor for some of Kyrie's worst impulses. But either way, man, I'm sort of curious how the Celtics fans feel, because you can look at it and say, okay, it wasn't us. Or you can look at it and say, oh my God, like the time we wasted with this guy, this was the wrong guy all along.
It really was. And I still, there's, you know.
It's the wrong guy for anyone.
I had still defended, well, it was still the right move in retrospect to make, because he was such a, you know, transcendent talent, and he hit that big shot in the finals, and he had done it before. He's got a ring. But the more he talks, the more I realize, like, no, I guess you should have, you didn't do your due diligence on him. He probably should have never made the move in the first place. He is a nightmare, and it's seemingly getting worse, and they better hope to God, the Brooklyn Nets brass, that when Kevin Durant comes back, that he's okay.
Yeah, he needs to be the real Kevin Durant.
If he's not, this is just going to get worse.
Oh, man.
You know?
I could even see, because just based on the way, like, Kyrie was with Hayward, I mean, he started out very supportive, and then it was clear he got frustrated, and then I think he just wrote the guy off. Like, if KD comes back from his Achilles and is not the same player, even though they're really tight and they're boys, like, at what point will he sort of talk about, you know, everybody expected KD, you know, to come back and be the same guy, but this is real life. You know, this isn't a game. These are our real lives. We're human beings with thoughts and feelings and souls and essences. You know, he'll go into that whole thing. Right. And but it will all be about how he's not getting the help. And I love, so I'm going to, I
know you're still a fan of him.
I am. I'm like a Kyrie addict, because I'm going to be honest with you. I still really enjoy watching him play. I would still like to watch him play every night for the Celtics, even though I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I know it wouldn't work. I'm just saying, it's like you always say, it's like being in one of those relationships. I just love the guy.
That basketball sex is so good for
you. I can't help myself.
You keep going back.
But man, he is tough.
That handle was something. I can appreciate that. And he has the ability to put up, you know, 40, 45 a night when he wants to. But boy, he is just the worst.
Well, now the thing about it too, is you look at it, and at what point do you have to look in the mirror if you're him and say, you know what? It's me. Because now this is like three different places where you're expressing a degree of unhappiness with your role or the supporting cast or what's going on. It was Cleveland, where you won a championship. That team was a contender. It was the Celtics. That team should have been a contender. It's the Nets, a team that made a ton of strides last year and has a really good young core, which you pretty much just crapped all over.
Right, and that's why I say there's part of me that feels like this isn't it for him. You should, I mean, like, in terms of, like, fulfilling him as a human being, like, is this what you really want to do? And I know you can make a mountain of money, and it's allowed you to make your terrible movies and have all these other marketing opportunities, but you're clearly not happy. So, I don't know, dude, go start a cult and go live in the woods. Like, maybe that is what's going to fulfill you, because it doesn't feel like it's being a professional basketball player. Patrick and Worcester on Gordon Hayward. You're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, is Gordon Hayward sabotaging his own trade value? And if he's trying to opt out at the end of the year to get another max contract, why is he telling the press this? Isn't that kind of like, good, nobody's going to give him the money next year? So what's he trying to stay with the Celtics next year? Or does he want to go with his wife to Miami and try not to go to Miami with her?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of season left, but I think that's a really good point in that.
What's the easiest thing to do, to opt back in?
Yeah, it is. He would get the most money. And the other thing is, is he intentional or not, by him saying the foot's going to be an issue for the rest of the season, that's going to affect his trade value. And that hurts the Celtics, because I do think that, look, he's a very talented player. And I think that they obviously want to make this work, but I think you would be better off, sort of similar to last year. I hope Danny doesn't repeat the same mistake, where you can add it up on paper and have a collection of talent and say it should work. But if it doesn't work, if it's not optimized for success, then you have to go in another direction. And I honestly feel like they would be better off with the two young wings and a big who's not as good a player as Hayward but fills a need for the team than these three guys right now. I honestly feel that way.
Brady and Winthrop, the thought on the Celtics. Hey, Brady.
How's it going, guys? So I'm kind of listening to all your Kyrie talk, and I agree with it 100%, everything with it. My take on it is I just think wherever Kyrie goes and wherever Kyrie's going to be is kind of just he kind of stands out as kind of like a cancer to an organization. Like you said, a really young core with a lot of talent ready to build. And he's sitting there saying, yeah, you know, it's me and Kevin. When we come back, we're going to be a lot better, but we need more. I just feel like it doesn't matter wherever Kyrie goes. He's kind of just going to tear up any kind of organization he has.
Well, there's part of the other part of me, besides saying maybe there's part of them that he should walk away from this because it's clear not making him happy. Maybe this is what makes him happy. There's part of me that believes that too, Chris, that there's people that feed off of chaos.
Like venting?
Yeah. Like he loves like the just all of this and manipulating the truth of what's going on.
Yeah.
That could be part of it too. He is something. He is a lot of work for all that talent. Boy, there's just too much baggage that comes with Kyrie Irving. So again, even though the Celtics are in a bad way, lost five of their last seven, need a big, doesn't feel like they're going to reach the ceiling that you maybe thought they were going to. It could be worse. You could still be dealing with this a-hole on a day-to-day basis. You can't miss that beat, Rob. You're on the beat for Boston Sports Journal. It has to be so much more refreshing that you don't have to try to get sound out of Kyrie Irving, and then when he does want to give it to you, it's 20 minutes of a word salad.
Saves me a half hour every night not trying to transcribe what he's trying to say to us.
Oh, man. That's a good point. You know what the worst part is, and I wasn't around as much as you, B-Rep, but you transcribe it, and you're like, okay, this is too long. I can't use it. But how do I discern?
Didn't say anything.
Well, how do I discern what the actual meaning of this is? Like, you know, what's the context? What's the meaning? Like, I'm like, I want to use this, but I have no idea what he actually said.
It's so brutal. And, I mean, to double up on this, first of all, the Nets this year, without Kyrie, 13-13. With Kyrie, 5-10.
Ooh.
And again, Kyrie asking for more help. Everyone knows you're getting Durant back next year. If you're as good as you think you are, who else do you need here? You supposedly have like,
right.
If you think you're a top 10 or
good
a top
point.
20 player with Durant, like, yeah, we need more help here. Like, what, you need three top 10 guys to like be over 500? So again, he's in a different universe. You guys have nailed it right now. And it's not the Celtics headache anymore.
Yeah, but the other thing too, it's like, we already have Spencer Dinwiddie. You have, you know, Jared
Who's
Allen.
Good? He's legitimately good.
Yeah, Dinwiddie
good.
Is right. legitimately good. You know, you have a shooter in Harris that a lot of people would love to have on their team. I mean, you have a lot of pieces. Like, no one's expecting you to win a championship this year, but B-Rob's right on. It's like, you won a championship. It was basically you, LeBron. You know, you had Kevin Love there, too, but he was basically the stand-in-the-corner guy, and that was enough. So why is it not enough if it's you, Durant, and better overall depth? Like, that should be enough.
All right, up next for the Celtics, it is the Phoenix Suns, who they welcome in tonight to TD Garden. We'll give you an update on some of the injury status of some of the players for the Seas heading into tonight's game. And they're also going to have to deal with a pervert with a foot fetish in the paint tonight. We'll explain next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rubio up top to DA with the punctuation from the big fella. Sits it up top, and DA sends it down. DA adding to it.
I'm not well. I need help. I need a therapist. I'm not kidding. I am a sick man. I am broken.
Well, the Celtics have to deal with DA tonight. And no, not our friend and lover of feet, who is admitting right there his sick perversions in that clip. Damon Amendola. No, they have to deal with Phoenix big man DA. DeAndre Ayton, that DA. This is where I wish Fred Tucher was here so he could do his feet-loving DA impersonation. But no, DeAndre Ayton, who is back and was back in a big way the other night against the New York Knicks, put up a 20-20 game, 26 points, 21 rebounds. So heading into tonight's game, the Celtics have some issues anyway, not just the way they've been playing, We mentioned this a few times earlier. Jaylen Brown with a thumb injury already ruled out. You have Kemba Walker questionable with a knee injury. And Gordon Hayward, who's going to play, but said to Jay King of The Athletic, oh, yeah, no, the foot's still a problem, but it's not going to be a problem going further in terms of how my game is. But the foot's a problem, everyone, just letting you know. So one of the things going into this game that irks me in terms of the fan base is that they're just overlooking this because you welcome in the Lakers and LeBron on Monday. Like, now it's the Suns. Like, okay, the Suns are a sub-500 team. I think they're 11th right now in the West. Don't quote me on that. But they've been okay on the road. This isn't a gimme. The way that this team's playing right now, and you get embarrassed by Detroit Wednesday night, and I don't care if it was a five-point game in the end. That game is not competitive against Milwaukee. Like, they're in a bad way. This isn't a gimme, and you have to deal with a real big man in D.A., DeAndre Ayton, not the flip finish.
And old friend Aaron Baines.
Yeah, and so I think the mentality heading into this game, at least from the fan base, is a false narrative. Like, this could be a decent game.
Yeah,
tonight.
In terms of looking ahead, and obviously my guy Devin Booker, who I love, who's dropped 70 on you in your own building a few years ago. The Suns got off to a hot start, looked like they'd be legit contenders for a playoff spot, and then things have kind of devolved from there. They've gone back to not playing consistent defense and not being connected on offense. Kelly Oubre's been very good for them. He's been a good find for them. You have Booker, obviously, but I mean, long term with the Suns, the question is, can you build around Booker? And DeAndre Ayton's a big part of that. So it's an interesting game because with Baines and Ayton, can the Suns take advantage of the Celtics' lack of size? Booker's had good games against you. And do you get caught looking ahead to the Lakers and really to, a sort of a busy week, like starting tonight with this Phoenix game?
Oh, schedule's tough.
The schedule is tough. I mean, you end up with sort of a stretch here, like an 8-game stretch here between now and playing the 76ers, who've beaten you all three times this year. You'll play them at home the day before the Super Bowl, Saturday, February 1st. It's not easy. You get this game tonight, then you have the Lakers, then you have my Memphis Grizzlies show up on Wednesday. The playoff-bound Memphis
Keep
Grizzlies.
Keep crowing about that.
Oh, man. Just like you with Sacramento last year, I am all in on this. And then you have a road trip. Orlando's a playoff team. We know that this week, on Wednesday, Zion Williamson's going to come back. So that at New Orleans game on the 26th, that's not a gimme. And then at Miami on the 28th, you come home, you play Golden State. That should be a gimme. They're terrible. On Thursday the 30th, but then on Saturday you have to play Philly. So this stretch coming up, I think we'll learn something about the Celtics, and it's not easy.
It'd be nice if they have a signature win in there. Maybe that comes Monday against the Lakers, because, and Felger's brought this up during the week on the show, do they really have a signature win this year? Was it that first week against Milwaukee? I want to make a case for Christmas Day against Toronto, but you can clearly put an asterisk on that because they didn't have Pascal Siakam. But I still think that was a big win, considering they never win there. They never, ever win in Toronto, so I still thought that was big. But you can make a case against it. Do they have one, or do they still need one coming up, and can they do that?
I think
that
it's one of the Toronto wins. Either the home opener I thought was a great game, or Christmas Day. I would vote for one of those just off the top of my head.
B-Rub?
I'm going with that Bucks win because they were down like 18 in that third quarter and then just destroyed them in the second half.
And what's your expectations for this run, what they have coming up based on the schedule over this next few weeks and how tough it is?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough balancing act for Brad Stevens with all these, guys are nicked up, as you talked about here. But at the same time, you're already down to the 3 seed. And if you have one more losing streak here, you could be all the way down to the 6th by the Super Bowl. So how they kind of play that balancing act here is going to be telling, but none of these games are gimmies, like you guys said.
I'm going to go to Ricky in the car, who has a thought on Kyrie Irving, who we were talking about in the prior segment. Hey, Ricky.
Yeah, on Kyrie Irving. Chris, I don't know if you'll remember this. Danny Ainge was playing for the Phoenix Suns, and he was getting into it all game with Mario Elie, who played for the Rockets. So there was a basket made, and Elie stuck an elbow in Ainge. In his ribs, and Ainge took the ball out, and under the basket, Ainge took the ball, and he whipped it right in Mario Elie's face. That's what I like to do to Kyrie Irving, I mean, this guy is a dink extraordinaire. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Ricky, some people are just a-holes, naturally born a-holes. I think Kyrie Irving is one of them. He'd say the same thing about Antonio Brown. In fact, someone tweeted at me, if you have to have one of those two guys on your team, which one are you taking?
Oh, Kyrie.
Like Sophie's choice? Yeah, Kyrie.
I mean, come on.
Because at least you're not going to have a criminal element with Kyrie Irving. He's just a giant pain in the ass. talented, giant pain in the ass. Same like Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's really lost it. Like, now these videos he's posting, now you feel bad for his kids.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he needs help. Seriously. I mean, Drew Rosenhaus has parted ways. I mean, if Drew Rosenhaus...
And your agent drops you, you really are a real problem.
You know, if he thought he could make any money off of AB, he would still be on board. And now he realizes this guy's toxic. Like, I can't put my name out there, my reputation out there attached to this guy.
All right, we have 1 hour to go with Gasper and Murray. If you want to join us, feel free, 617-779-0985. The first hour was all about the cheating in baseball, the Red Sox, and how they've fired Alex Cora. It's not a mutual agreement to part ways. It's not firing. So we can touch back on that. But I do want to focus a bit on football and the championship weekend, championship games coming up in the AFC and NFC tomorrow. Next, after the Sports Hub headlines. Announcement Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.